This is Northland Angler, the Northland Tackle Podcast.
Well, it's always fun when we get to check in with Brian Brosdahl and find out how things are going. Bro, we're, you know, in late August. We went through kind of a hot weather stretch, and now we're in a cool weather stretch. And what does that all mean for walleye fishing right now?
Actually, it's going to trigger a good bite. Consistent weather patterns and pressure is very important. We had some extremely high pressure for weeks with a few days where it dipped a little bit, but any barometric pressure, either too high or too low, is never any good. But super high pressure for a long period of time wasn't really fun to deal with. But now we've got nice cooler weather, with enjoyable to fish in, and I've seen a spark in the fishing, even though we were catching fish the entire time. But the fishing is a lot better.
Well, and we know that as it cools down, we get into fall, it's just a great stretch. So this might be kind of getting us in that direction.
Getting in the direction, and definitely we got a little ways to go in temperature. The water temperatures were still pushing 70, and I'm sure they might be in the high 60s today. But as soon as it gets a little bit lower, that's surface temp. But when the waters go down just a little bit more, 65, even the 60s, everything just gets wild. And, you know, from walleyes are going right now, but they'll just ramp it up even more. And you'll get a little bit, not so much a big migration, but they'll start moving onto the bars and on the green weed edges. And the panfish right now are suspended. There's thermoclines on small lakes. So they're right at that thermocline, whatever you see. And thermoclines are easy to read on your hummingbird. You could see the bottom has kind of a sketchy look to it, and that's just a temperature barrier with lack of oxygen below it. So stay above that for panfish. And the walleyes hold to that too, but on big waters, I'm not really seeing it. We haven't had major die-offs. Very, you know, a few suckers and tulipies, but not like we have in the past where people had to clean shorelines and have wheelbarrows. But so the fish didn't get that stressed. But anytime we get long durations of warm weather, we do get some heavy feeding activities.
Okay. Where, in the last few weeks, has the most consistent bite been?
Well, it's the leech was slower, but then now it's picking up. It's really picking up, I should say. There was hardly any heartbeat there at all, but you can never keep that lake down. It's full of walleyes, and there's a lot of walleyes and big ones, and they're starting to turn on. That was a crankbait bite. Bemidji's probably been one of the more consistent bites. I'm not always on Bemidji, but I have friends that are there. Some of my friends are on there just about all the time, and then Cass Lake was good in the spring, and it's been a bear cat all summer. And a lot of people coming up wondering if there's any fish left. And it's just full of fish. And all these lakes have their windows. When he turned on, some of the fish went up in the weeds. Then they're getting them on bullets and rainbow spinners or even rock runner bottom bouncers out in the humps. But for the most part, they start moving in. But Winnie's been hot all year, but not for eaters.
Yeah.
If you want to go whip up on some big fish and bend a rod and catch nice fish, that's the lake for you. If you want to catch smaller fish, staying close to home, Bemidji and surrounding lakes, Black Duck and all these little lakes are full of eaters, and just choose what you want to do. If you want to go for bigs or if you want to go for littles.
You know, the thing about Winnie, I think it took some people, you know, a little while to adjust to the new reality of Winnie as the water is clear to, you know, some on that lake. And I really think that's the biggest problem on Cass Lake, too. It's a whole new ball game with the even clearer water than ever before, and you got to figure out what that means for walleye fishing.
Oh, yeah, and you think clear water, oh, they got to go really deep. Well, no, they went shallower because with clear water, they're in the weeds, and if you like bass fishing for walleyes, that's the lake for you because that's what you got to do. And the bass pros that have had tournaments out there, they're chuckling because they're catching them by accident. And so it didn't actually go the way we thought it would. There are fish that go deep in these big deep bodies of water, but vegetation is a key player because that's where the bait and the insect hatches come out of the basin. So I'm sure there's some there, but they're not biting. So most of your fish are going to be in the weeds on most of our lakes, and clear water is not the end. It's just learn to fish it. That's all I have to say. There, so far, there's no proof that there's less fish. There's more fish because no one's catching them.
That's
more fish than ever.
That is probably true. Oh, what overall, I mean, you know, you mentioned Bemidji being a pretty good steady lake. What kind of grade would you have given this summer for walleye fishing overall?
Oh, geez. If I had to get, I'd give it a B.
Yeah.
You know, I'm getting them every day. I don't post meat shots, but I'm getting people their limits. But by any means necessary, I've had to have some days 30 to 40 rods in the boat, switching different ways we fish. And, you know, from instinctive reaction things like puppet minnows or rattle baits to slip bobber, you know, light bite bobber. I call it speed corking. You know, everybody has a different name for it, but that's the one I remember from 30 years ago, speed corking. You just go around, you mark them, you drop the bobber. And then rigging. Rigging with a rock runner bottom bouncer would be good if the crayfish didn't absolutely maul your minnow nonstop or your leech or your crawler. You have to float it high to get it off the bottom. So what I found is if you are dragging a rig, a short rig, like a roach rig, but to shorten it up to about 2 feet, drag the sinker. Make sure your bait is not on the bottom. And if you want to use this, you want to drag a light bite bobber and set it up, you're going to get some bull, but at least you're not getting the crayfish are super active right now, and they just line up and grab bait as it comes by, believe it or not. And even if you're rip jigging, you still get crayfish because they're so aggressive. So this is a little window. It happens every year, and it's almost through with. And as the waters cool down, those little monsters will go away. We can drag our minnows and our leeches again.
Well, I know you're a guy who loves to panfish whenever you get the opportunity. When the walleyes were slow on the hot weather times, that is actually a great time to catch panfish.
Oh, it is. It's crappie fishing has been excellent this year. I'd give that an A.
Okay.
They're biting on all the lakes, and that's one thing we have around here. We have almost every lake has a population of crappies. They're not all giant. But there are lakes that do have really big crappies. The days of endless 14-inchers everywhere is gone. But now there's a lot of lakes with 9 to 12-inch crappies. And when we're eating them, we're looking for the 10 to 11-inch crappies. But and bluegills, where there's bluegill populations everywhere. And now and then there's trophy lakes. But they hold to the weeds, vegetation, green stuff. We started out, we got warm real fast. We had algae on our vegetation. And a lot of those weeds have perished. And there's still weeds out there with algae, but there's some nice clean vegetation, and that's what the panfish are in. And if you want to get panfish, move slowly along the weed line. If you're going real slow and trolling along the weed line, the rod on the other side of the boat will never catch them. They're right on the weed line, and crappies like a little movement. So just going along with a little thumper head and a crappie minnow, you're going to catch fish. And we're getting close to the time where they dump into the basins, not on all lakes, but on most lakes, and that's where they feed on, and they follow the minnows in.
Right. You just mentioned it a little bit about, 10 and 11-inch crappies for eating purposes. What about bluegills? What should we be keeping? What do we need to keep putting back into the water?
Well, bluegills are real stocky fish. They're just completely round, so they're bigger. You don't need them real big, and they've proved that taking large gills stunts the population. Don't keep any bluegills over 9 inches unless if you want to mount them. Mounting one fish never killed off a body of water.
Right.
But for a fork full of meat, don't destroy it. Throw back the ones that touch 9, and I still bump into people, and they're still keeping big ones. Well, what are they? This is like the last area that has them in the whole Midwest. There's a few farm ponds in Iowa, and there's a very, very few lakes in Michigan, all the way to New York, and Western Minnesota still has them also. But you just can't keep them. And the people keeping them, they don't care. And don't be like a person who doesn't care. Throw back bluegills if they touch 9 and up. And an 8-inch bluegill's a big bluegill. Let's face it, that's a big bluegill in most places. No. So harvesting bluegills under 9 inches is just the best way to go. And if you need more meat, go for a walleye. Go for a perch. We're lucky to have jumbo perch in our area. They don't exist everywhere. Go get some big jumbo perch and catch bluegills. Keep some mediums. I'm not saying keep tiny ones. Keep mediums. Throw the biggies back.
Yeah. You know, I think we've talked about this before, bro, but it's always worth bringing up. You know, I've heard more and more talk, and I don't know if it's going to be officially brought up anytime soon, but there seems to be some push towards a 4 walleye limit statewide. What are your thoughts on that?
Oh, it doesn't bother me at all. 6, you know, if you're going to have a fish fry, 6 is nice, but not everybody's having a big fish fry. And Bemidji area, Brainerd, this whole area, we're known to be good fishing people. Throughout the United States, everybody thinks of this area as real excellent. Everybody's great at fishing up here. And when you're good at fishing, you get to fish a lot. You don't need to whack them that bad. I mean, we love catching and releasing and catching fish. But 4 walleyes, that's a lot of fish when you cook them. That's plenty. Well, it kind of makes guiding a little easier. That's 2 less I have to come up with. But Leech Lake has had a 4 limit for a long time, and it hasn't deterred traffic or no one's really complaining about it. 4 doesn't hurt. But if one thing, let's kind of have a unilateral thing. Instead of having to have a big manual on every little lake, 4 fish, 1 over 20 would be a great model, I think, and let it go from there. Let's have some small fish in the lake as well as big fish. And it's nice to have big fish, but I like 4 fish is a pretty good measure. And there are lakes that are more resilient than others, but then we get into that thick manual on all different regulations. Let's simplify. 4 fish, 1 over 20 would be a great deal.
I think you would find pretty much of a, by and large, blanket agreement on that statewide.
Yeah, it's 3 gets kind of scary. I think Heather and I could eat 4, but we don't need 8. You know, so but 4, you know, she'll have 1 and I'll have 3. You know, it's a growing boy. And but you know, it's one of those things. We do have some of the best large walleye fishing. You know, Winnie's full of large walleyes. Mille Lacs is absolutely full of fish. I don't know what's going on down there. I hope it never happens up here. I think people would go nuts if lakes were getting closed down up here. But it's 4 fish is good, and we have big fish now in all of our fisheries. And the walleyes do eat walleyes. It's not, you know, I always hear that smallmouth bass are hard, and that's what happened to Mille Lacs. Smallmouth bass are awesome fish. They eat crayfish. If they're going to target fish, they'll eat perch. There's no documentation ever of any walleyes ever being in a smallmouth bass. And you can go to the DNR and talk to them. They did a study on it, and there was no walleyes ingested by a smallmouth bass. For those guys who are whacking the smallies thinking that they're hurting walleyes, someone's got to talk to them.
You know, you addressed it a little bit, but that was the one question I had from your, you know, as a business perspective, this is how you make your living. You don't think the 4 walleye limits would be an issue as far as traffic and angling and tourism and all that?
Oh, no, not at all.
Okay.
When people come up and they want to go fishing, yeah, they want to have a meal of Northwoods walleyes, but it's not a deal breaker to go from 6 to 4. They catch walleyes all day, and then they get 4 targeted size ones to keep per person in the boat. If you got 3 people, that's 12 walleyes. And most of the people want to eat the fish while they're here. There are not everybody goes to the resort, takes home frozen fish. They eat them while they're here, and then that's it. And that's what I see with most of the clients that are in my boat. There are a few people that want to take everything they can. Noah's Ark, instead of 2 of everything, a limit of everything.
Yeah.
But that's... You know, those are people who probably get it once a year, and it's, you know, you can't get too strict and everything, and some people get out a lot, some people don't, and if they don't get out a lot, let them keep some fish. There's a story behind every trip, and most people just want to get a meal of fish, and that's it there, and it ain't going to change anything.
Another thing we've talked about in the past is how good we have it here, and as I read your Twitter feed, and all the times you're on big city radio stations. I'm actually privileged to have a guy of your fame on my show on a regular basis. But you're on Chicago radio. I mean, they don't put programmings people aren't interested in, on Chicago radio and Detroit radio and things like that. That shows me right there how much the nation loves, at least the sporting nation, loves what we have here in Minnesota, that they want to talk about it in Chicago and Detroit and other big cities.
Absolutely. You look. I mean, just we have Google Earth now. You look on Google Earth, there is nothing like this anywhere like there is in northern Minnesota, western Minnesota, or just anywhere in this area. I mean, Bemidji, and we're not far from Devils, too, if you want to visit and buy their license, but we are in a good area. There isn't another area like this. You can go to New York, it's not quite the same. You can go to Wisconsin, not quite the same. This is a very desired area. We're all lucky to be here. And everybody that here is good at fishing, just about. And so we're where we want to be. And there is not another place, so let's take care of the one we're at.
Yeah, absolutely. And like I say, everybody wants to come here and take advantage of it. I mean, how many people do I know that I still detect a little of that Chicago accent because they moved here because they used to vacation here, and our Cubs fans and Packer fans, and I have to deal with that. But anyway,
yeah,
I mean, this is paradise to a lot of people, and we just got to know that and respect it and not take it for granted.
Well, yeah, most of the people in my boat, actually quite a few are, I have a lot of local area people that hire me. They don't get to fish that much. They got businesses, family, they're busy. Mm-hmm. And when they go, they want to jump in and catch fish. But yeah, I do get people from out of state. They're very appreciative. They love it here. And the thing is, they're more apt to take a gamble to move than somebody who's got it pretty good in the Twin Cities. The people from far away are ready to take a risk and move, because this is, it's not like going to Alaska. This is a good step, and it's a nice place.
It absolutely is. Well, let's preview it. We talked about some temperature moves that need to be made. What are some of the benchmarks we should be looking for to know that that good fall bite is underway?
Well, temperature is everything, but I am already seeing things. Bigger pike are starting to move into the shallows, and the water's still warm, and they're coming up because the tulabies and whitefish come in to spawn, and they're already getting ready. They're finding their little ambush spots, and then the loons are starting to flock up, group up out in the basins because the minnows are starting to dump down. These are precursors to the big fall bite. It's going to happen. We're not that far away. Starting to see grouse and laying in the highway because they're starting to get squirrely. This is that time of year where everything's starting to come together. You don't know to grab the gun or the rod, but I know. I'll just grab the rod every day. Maybe I'll trip on my grouse gun, but this is a great time of year, and we're all poised and ready, and the only thing that gets in the way is work.
Well, bro, do you still have some spots available if people want to hire you this fall or maybe for some ice fishing?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. If you got a warm coat, let's go in October. Give me a shout. Go to brosguideservice.com. That's the best way, because I'm not one of those guys that sits on my phone all day. Okay. I check my phone if it's a text, I'll check, but I don't sit on the phone and gab. That's why you can't get a hold of me when I'm guiding, because it's polite not to sit on the phone.
That's very true. Bro, it is always great to have you on the show. We're going to do it many times throughout the course of the ice fishing season, too. In the meantime, take care, and thanks for joining us today.
Hey, thanks for having me, and everybody have fun on the water and be safe.